Welcome to the Evolution of Leaders podcast. My name is Darwin Lee, and I am a coach and speaker. I'm the founder of the Evolution of Leaders. On this podcast, I'm interested in exploring the traits, habits, or behaviors that set apart elite performers through their stories and in their own words. On this podcast, I interview world and Olympic sprint champion Bruni Surin. Bruni had a fascinating sprint career, at one point having the second fastest 100-meter sprint time in all of history. But it wasn't all straightforward, as he was ranked second in the 1996 Atlanta Olympics, but failed to qualify for the finals in a heartbreaking turn of events. But listen to the two simple steps he uses and advises others to do when they have a big setback. Just great wisdom there. I hope you enjoy this interview. Hello, everyone. This is Darwin with the Evolution of Leader Show, where I help people and teams grow and improve. My hope after listening to this podcast is that you will learn something about going to get it, because my guest today is Bruni Surin, gold medalist in the 4x100 relay in the 1996 Atlanta Olympics, three world championships in the 4x100, silver in the world championships with a 9.84 at the time, the second fastest time ever recorded to date. Still the 11th fastest time. Today, he takes his lessons from track into the business world. Bruni Surin, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Darwin. I'm looking forward to speaking to and with your audience.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. So starting off, I'm wondering if you can give us just a 60-second overview of how you kind of look at your career.
My career, I practice track and field. I started with the long jump and triple jump. Then I started sprinting. In total, I did 18 years of athletics, track and field. I participated at four Olympics in 88, 92, 96, and 2000. I retired in 2002. During my career, I mean, the highlight was winning the gold medal and the 4x100 meters in Atlanta in 1996. And today I'm an entrepreneur. I have a clothing line. I do a lot of speaking engagement and cooperation. I started modestly in real estate a couple of years ago. And I just did some joint venture with some enterprise here in Canada. So I'm trying to be a good entrepreneur.
And we were talking offline. It sounds like you're off to a great start. So that's great to hear.
Thank you.
You have a book, Le Lion Tranquille, and the Tranquil Lion in English. And there's a great story, if we can start off, when you were just a little guy at five, and yes, how you might have saved your mother's life. I'm wondering if you can take us through that. The Olympic champion showing his true championship colors at five.
Yes, that tell you that I have a good reaction. You know, for when you sprint, you need, yes, to have a good reaction. Everything.
Absolutely,
I remember perfectly like it was yesterday. At 5 years old, I mean, you know, I was born in 80 till seven years old. I moved to Canada, but at 5 years old, and back then, I don't know how it is now because I never been back, unfortunately. But the street, you don't have kind of, there's no line, and people kind of driving like a little bit like this, you know. And I remember I was just walking with my mom, and I saw this car just coming at us. Yeah. And my mom wasn't paying attention. Yeah. So it's me who just took my mom and put her aside to avoid that accident. So that could have been fatal, you know. And after that, I was, oh man, you know, I was so proud. I saved my mom life and everything. So when we got home, And I told her, wait till all the family is here to share that story, because I want I wanted everybody to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
When she said that to the family and everything, and I was very proud, you know.
And you write in your book, it's kind of the first time you see real pride in your mother's eyes, which is an amazing moment.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I mean, my mom, unfortunately, today she passed like 4 years ago. But she was very proud of me. I was very proud of her too. Proud of the education also she gave me, and I'm very proud of that. Yeah.
And we'll talk about family in just a moment, because clearly family is a very foundational thing for you. Yes. And but I wanted to talk about something, you know, kind of something that interesting that happens through your career. In a couple instances, you have people who notice something about you and notice that you have great potential. One of them is Daniel Saint-Hilaire, and he notices that you can be something great. He's amazed at how you jump, and he's kind of a very influential figure in your development as an athlete. And I was wondering if you could tell us, now that you're beyond your athletic career, but looking back with a benefit of experience and wisdom, what do you think he saw? You know, for those of us that are looking in potential in others, I'm thinking we might be able to learn something from this.
Yes, I remember perfectly. I was 13, almost 13 years old. And what happened is every end of school year, we have this competition we call regional. Regional is like a different school and this area. And we go to the sports complex and we make competition and athletics. We call it like a kind of the small Olympic for the student and everything. And I remember the first year I won the triple jump. I wasn't the fastest. I was maybe the third or fourth fastest in my age range. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after that competition, the coach came to me and he saw something, and he was like, "Oh, Bruni," he was coaching the he was on the national team. He gave me his business card. He said, "I want to coach you. You have good potential. Here is my card. Call me." So the thing is, back then, my sport was basketball. So I didn't really like, I didn't have no passion for athletics, for track. But that coach, every year, he insisted. He came every year to the regional. And every time he gave me his number, "I want to coach you. I want to coach you." I didn't have anything, because I was still thinking about the basketball. Mm-hmm. So it's only years after that, I saw on television Carl Lewis.
Yeah.
Carl Lewis, for people who doesn't know him, at that Olympic, he won 4 gold medals. So at that time, I had something like a reference. And it's only back then I started athletics. And the major thing about Danielle, the coach, it's how he gave me the message. It's not only, okay, well, you can be good in everything. He said, okay, well, believe in yourself, because there's something in you. You can be like your idol, because I see the potential in you. And I started to believe that. And he made me believe that so much. Then I start saying to people, well, I'm going to be like Carl Lewis.
Oh.
Because he gave me that confidence. He told me stuff. He told me about how to condition my brain at 17 years old. At first, I was like, what is he talking about? Condition my brain and everything. So at one point, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try to visualize. Today, we talk about visualization. Visualization, to me, it's not, I don't want to say that it's easy, but how you do it, it's like, okay, well, maybe after one training, I can see myself, like close my eyes, that's my way of visualization, and see myself running. And of course, the first time, I'm not going to see myself beating Carl Lewis or running faster than Carl Lewis, but more and more, as I'm going to do that exercise, and of course, I have my training physically also, more and more you're doing that, you're going to have reaction. You're going to have a sense of, oh my God, I see myself running faster than Carl Lewis and everything. And I say that to people. And one day I'm going to be an Olympian. One day I'm going to be one of the fastest guys. I want to run faster than Carl Lewis. And I say that with confidence, but people didn't believe that. And that's the problem with a lot of time and a lot of event. Sometimes we can believe in something that we can do, but sometimes we are focused too much on what people are going to say. People are going to say that I'm crazy. People are going to say that I'm dreaming. People are going to say, be realistic. And then, unfortunately, a lot of time we say, well, they are right. I'm exaggerating. Oh, yeah. There's no way I can be faster than Carl Lewis. There's no way I can be one of the fastest guy. And I'm going to retire. I'm just going to stop because it's going to be too difficult. That's the danger. Keep believing yourself. And I could tell you, when I say that to people, I would say 99% of the people were saying it's impossible. But I have my first coach say that you can do it. And he gave me that quote that I want to share with your audience.
Please.
It's very simple. He told me something, condition your brain, and Bruni, I'm going to give you a gift. He said, the me I see is the me I'll be. And that's a quote I'm still using today. The me I see is the me I'll be. The road is not going to be easy, but it took me 15 years. 15 years of deception, 15 years of a lot of time humiliation, 15 years of a lot of people were laughing at me. It's okay. But at the end of the day, 15 years later, like you said in your introduction, 9.84 and the 100 meters at the age of 32 years old. And at that time, I was the second fastest of all time. But people were saying that it's not possible. So you make this decision, and anything that you're going to do, you have to go after it. Go for it. Go get it.
You know what? It's very obvious why you wrote a book, and I'd encourage anyone to read it. It's in French, but there's great translation tools now.
Yeah.
And a lot of lessons there. Another interesting lesson about we're talking about, belief is that you were told the long jump record, it was 8.90. You were told it was 9.33.
Yeah.
So that you would have a belief that when you were jumping 8 meters, it wasn't far enough and that you had to reach further and jump further, which I thought was an amazing coaching tool, kind of like a retraining and reframing the brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another lesson from Danielle.
Yeah.
Because take it back this way. I'm going to talk first of all about this one. Like Danielle was saying that believe it. You can make your brain believe anything. It's up to you. You know, when I started, I didn't know about the world record and this and that and the long jump. What's a record? I don't know. I just started track. I don't know. I just loved the long jump. My idol is Carl Lewis and everything, whatever. So he told me, oh yeah, the world record, it's 9.33. And I'm like, okay, 9.33. And I believe that. I said, well, okay, you know. And now it's only later, I have some friends who had more experience than me.
Yeah.
And we start talking about, you know, the performance and this and that. And one of my friends said, no, are you crazy? The world record is not 9.33. You're crazy. The world record is 9. At that time, it was 8.90.
Yeah.
But even from 8.90 to 9.33, it's like, it's crazy. Even still today, the world record is not 9.33, it's 8.95, you know? But when I found out that, I was mad at my coach who told me that the record was 9.33.
You were mad.
I was mad because they were laughing at me because I didn't know the record.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'm trying to put your level, your brain, your level of confidence right there. See yourself go further. To give you an example, today, the world record of the 100 meters, it's 9.58. You know, if back then, 1996, when we won our gold medal, we were on top of the world. There was a big article in the Sport Illustrated. They were talking about the human excellence, how far the human gonna go and sport and everything. And I remember clearly, they were saying the human won't run as fast as 9.6 before at least 2050. I read that, I started laughing. I said, why can't somebody run that before? I mean, you just need to have the tools and everything, believe in yourself and do it. Mm-hmm. And I believe back then that, yes, somebody can run 9.6. Even when I retired at 35 years old, back in 2002, I said that on TV, openly, I said, now the next generation, they're going to run 9.6. I believe that because from what I learned and track, like the biomechanic change, we are more efficient. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, the first time I saw the person who has the world record now, Jamaican Usain Bolt, first time I saw him, I saw something in him. I saw the way he was running. I said on TV, I give this kid 5 years. I see that in myself. I evaluate him. He's going to run 9.6. Maybe 95% of the people, some friends, were saying that Bruni is local. What is he talking about? He's saying that on TV. He's saying anything. How can he run 9.6? He's crazy. You can call me crazy. It's not a problem. But 2003 to 2008, that's 5 years, right?
Yeah.
I am invited at the Olympics, and I am fourth row from the start, even before the competition. You see that the leadership, the confidence that he has?
Yes. Yes.
He said before the race, I am going to run 9.6 with confidence.
Yeah.
A lot of people were laughing at him. A lot of people were saying, oh, come on now. Are you crazy? 9.6? Nah. He came in the final. Boom. 9.6. Everybody was like, wow. But I saw that. So it's only how you believe in yourself. It's very simple, you know?
One of the things that was a turning point in your career, and you'd had good coaching throughout, and you're very clear about that in your book, that you'd had a number of very good coaches. Mm-hmm. But someone named Dan Pfaff is someone that really helped you turn around. Mm-hmm. And he works with you over a short period, and you see incredible gains very quickly in your in your early 30s. This is after you've been running a number of years.
Yep.
And so when you look back, what are some of the positive traits that a good coach brings?
Good traits is, first of all, your kind of leadership, your kind of how you're going to communicate. And also, do you believe at 100% on what you're saying? Because a lot of time, the way you're going to say, give your guidance and everything, I don't want to say give you orders, but the person's going to see. You see, when we're talking about the language, the body language, it's talk. The first time, first training that Dan Pfaff saw me, he came to me with confidence. He said, you suck. I was like, what do you mean I'm suck? I mean, I'm Olympic champion. I'm world champion many times and everything.
You're running sub 10 already?
I'm running sub 10 already and everything. I'm like, no, this isn't it. You're not efficient. This is how you need to run. The first 10 meters, you stay low. Up to 30 meters, stay low, stay low, stay low. And he said, don't worry. Even when you do that, if you see some your competition like ahead of you, don't panic. Stay low. Once you're going to get the 30 meters, you're going to make you, we call that the transition. You're going to see you're moving so fast, you're going to catch them. You're going to run 9.8. I had the Canadian Championship 5 weeks after that. I said, believe in that. In 5 weeks, you're going to run 9.89. He had so much confidence. I'm like, oh my God. And don't forget, I've been running the like a certain way for like maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
And then one day, the coach said, don't do that anymore. Don't run like that anymore. This is how I want you to run. First practice. I'm like, okay, coach, I'm going to trust you. Because the way you're talking to me, the confidence that you have in yourself, and the outcome you say that I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna do it. And I start to run like that. And guess what? With confidence, 5 weeks, exactly what the coach told me. I won the Canadian Championship or National Championship. First time I ran 9.8, I ran 9.89. And then the year after that, that's the year I had my dream season. I ran 6 times under 10 seconds, and I became the second fastest man in the world of all time.
Amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
It is crazy. And there's a number of very interesting stories that I'm just going to go off. This is just a partial list.
Yeah.
Because you really showed commitment and the ability to overcome it. This is just a small list. So
yeah.
In Italy, you had to overcome, there was corrupt judging where you were called for long jump fouls and there weren't, it led to a scandal.
Yeah.
You slept in a train station overnight in Rome because they forgot to pick you up.
Yeah.
At one point, your Sport Canada check is late coming in and you run out of groceries, you and your wife from BNL.
Mm-hmm.
You're living in a small apartment and you're embarrassed at one point to have a dream of becoming one of the best sprinters in the world. At one point, you're called a chicken. And this is publicly by a journalist.
Yep.
You're accused of taking steroids. This is after the Ben Johnson, that whole scandal. Mm-hmm. How do you handle taking criticism and overcoming that and even turning it into a positive, like, and you had to overcome so much.
It's, yes. And, I'm not going to lie to you. It is very, very tough. It is very, very difficult. Can you remember at young age, I'm just starting everything and you see your name and the paper say that they call you like a tourist. They put your name in the paper saying that, oh, you might take drugs also and everything. And oh my God, it was like one after another. But one thing I did, I just look at, like the image was like, I just look at in the sky, say that, okay, well, my goal is right there. And no matter what, people gonna hit me, people gonna laugh at me, people, I don't have money. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, sometimes we see, okay, we hit this and that. At some point, yes, I said to myself, oh my God, this is going to be tough. I remember when I started living in Europe, when I started my season, and some nights I was just crying by myself. I'm like, man, this is not going to be easy, but I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. And at the end of the day, you look at the big picture when you achieve that, you're like, oh my God, this is what, when we call like perseverance. That's it. The high price of that. It's perseverance. Today I've been retired for 18 years now, 18 years.
Yeah.
And everywhere I go in Canada, giving speaking engagement, conference and everything. I mean, the Olympic was like 24 years ago and people still remember that. People still shaking my hands. Well, congrats and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, this is great. And now more especially when I'm talking to the younger generation, I go to school and try to inspire the student. That's I awesome. Go in corporation. I try to inspire like the employees and everything. And a lot of time, a lot of people have the same story as me and they can relate. I mean, life is not easy. I mean, if you are waiting back home to say that, okay, things going to come to you just like that, people are going to give you gift, it's not going to happen. I mean, a lot of time I was tired. I didn't want to go to practice. Oh, my God, every day. But, well, if I don't do it, there's no reward. It's like the same thing in your daily life. I mean, if you don't put in the effort, my coach used to say, every time you go to practice, it's like putting money in the bank. You put money in the bank. You put money in the bank. You're going to have interest and going to have the high reward. But if you don't put that money, don't expect to have big money in your bank account. I'm like, yeah, you're right, coach. And that's the same thing in anything. I mean, today, yes. Today, sometimes people say, yeah, but, well, Bruni, sometimes you say when people tell you no, you say, yeah, people tell me no today. And when I have a no, what's going to happen? It's okay. I'm going to see another one and I'm going to have a yes. It's the same thing. Sometimes I hit the wall in business. Okay. I put a step back. Why did I hit the wall? And where's the adjustment I'm going to make? I'm going to cross that wall for sure. That's my mindset. And I'm going to succeed. It's as simple, but one thing that can help people, I'm telling you, it's visualization. See yourself doing it. You hit the wall. It's okay. What's your adjustment and how you're gonna cross that barrier? Everybody can do it, but sometimes we're like, oh, it's too difficult. Yeah, so what? Go. And that's the same mindset I'm putting my daughters. If I may, I'm gonna give you an example. My daughter, I have one daughter who does track and field. She's running the 400 meters. I remember a couple of years ago, her goal in one competition, we call it the Canada Games, was to finish top six in the competition. I knew it was going to be tough because I see the competition, her experience, everything. I'm like, okay, it's going to be tough, but it's your goal, you know? I remember at once, her coach couldn't come and practice. So I went with her and practice. And her training, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's going to be tough after the third run. She's going to start complaining because it's going to be tough. Effectively, after the third, she has five runs. After the third one, she said, Dad, I'm tired. I'm going to stop. I said, you have 3 minute rest. Then you have your fourth one and you have a fifth one. I said, no, Dad, I'm tired. It's too tough. I said, 3 minutes. Rest. Okay, it's time to go. Oh my God. She's mad. She's mad at me because I'm forcing her. It wasn't my goal. It was her goal. I'm trying to help you. After the fourth one, she lay down on the floor, said, Dad, it's impossible. I'm tired. I'm stuck. I said, you have 3 minutes. Oh my God. 3 minutes, let's go. Oh my God, I'm too tired. Okay, you know what? I'm going to give you an extra 30 seconds, but you're going to finish your training.
Yep.
Oh my God. She was, for 2 days after that, she did her fifth one. For 2 days, she didn't talk to me. She was mad. She said, it's okay. But guess what? Once she got onto the competition, the Canada Games, not only she did the top six, she finished third.
Yeah.
She got a bronze medal. Happy. Oh, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. La, la, la. You see? Have to put the effort. I mean, today, I have some people who are saying that, Bruni, sometimes, you know, you're a little bit tough on the kids, you know? I'm like, what? If I see a talent in anything, sports, school, business, whatever, and I see that person maybe miss confidence, or you don't put the work ethic enough. If I want to help you, what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna say, okay, yeah, it's fine, or I'm gonna tell you, hey, listen, you need to push. To be honest with myself, I'm gonna tell you, hey, listen, you need to work harder. Listen, work here and everything, and that's exactly what I'm doing. sometimes, oh yeah, it's too tough, but life is tough. Life is tough. Nobody's giving me a gift. Nobody's giving me a gift. I have to go get it. You know?
Speaking of that, you're very open about something, and that is at the Atlanta Olympics when, this is straight from your book, you said you were paralyzed by pressure and you didn't have a good personal, like a solo races in the 100 meter.
Yeah.
And you tell the story that you called home to check messages after that, and both you and Bionel were very upset.
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta, the 1996, when we won the medal, it was a very special moment.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to win two medals. Yeah. I wanted to win the medals and the 100 meters and also the 4x100 meters. So what happened is in the four and the 100 meters semifinal, I came to the semifinal.
Yeah.
Where there are two heats. And my first heat, I finished fifth. So when I saw that on the board, the definition of that is Bruni Sirman fifth, Canada. You are out of the final.
Heartbreaking.
I'm like, oh my God. I was ranked second in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm at the Olympics where I want to win the gold medal. I'm not even going to participate in the final. I saw, like, it was black. And I saw stars. I'm confused. I don't know what's going on. I'm not injured. Oh my God, what's going on? I saw the final on TV. I'm like, oh my God. Now my wife is there crying. My coach is there, doesn't understand. And that's what I said to people. And I learned that also from my coaches. When you are in those kind of situation and any field and that happen, two things happen. Why are you there? Why are you in this situation? There's a reason. Find that reason as soon as possible. Second thing, what are you going to do about it ASAP? Two things. So I came home. I said, okay, I'm going to apply that. Why am I in this situation?
Yes.
At first, I'm like, okay, why? I saw the tape, my semifinal, about maybe 50, 100 times, trying to find the why am I here. Suddenly, boom. Ah, okay. I remember in my preparation,
yeah,
I was going to the sports center to practice.
Yep.
And maybe at 3-4 occasion, I had no passion. I didn't like it. I turned around. I didn't go to practice 3-4 times. I'm like, okay. I didn't understand back then. So at the Olympics, in the middle of the night, I'm like, I know why I didn't like it. Because I wanted to win that medal for myself. I mean, not for myself, for my country, for my sponsors, for my friends, and my family. The only thing I was missing, I didn't do it for myself first. Mm-hmm. That was my mindset. I was like, oh my God, okay, I understand now. Second thing, what are you going to do about it ASAP? Okay, what I'm going to do about it ASAP? Change my mindset. I'm going to do it for me first. And I had a big smile.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it now. Okay, let's go. In the house, there was a pool, big backyard. I went to the pool the next day, next morning. Life is great. Oh my God, yeah. People were looking at me and asked me, Mr. Cern, are you okay? Is everything okay?
Oh, because they knew what you'd been through.
They knew what I've been through.
Okay.
And they see me just laughing, smiling, life is good. I'm like, what's going on here? I find the why am I here and what I'm going to do about it. Couple of hours later, boom, life is good. Can we all do that? Yes. But a lot of time, what happened? We don't take that step back. We're like, oh, life is not good. Life is, oh my God, I have all this problem. You only think, you only focus about, okay, life is good. It's not good. Problem, problem, problem. You don't ask the question, okay, why, what are you going to do about it? I said to my family, you have a problem. I'm the guy who's going to listen to you anytime. I'm going to understand your problem. Okay, yeah, I understand. Okay, yeah, it's tough. And you know what I'm going to ask you? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? ASAP, as soon as possible.
That's really good. And so you had that realization, it was that night.
That night, same night.
So you thought about it for quite a long time.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Couple of hours, I'm like, okay, this is where my mindset was. This is how my mindset is like now. And we move forward. That's it. That's everybody can do that with no exception, but we have to put the time, we have to think about it. Yeah, exactly.
And that was a great moment. And what I like to do is just to play it, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
Because there's an incredible moment where you pump your arms. And it's one of the greatest ones because it's just so real. And you must have seen this a million times.
Oh yeah.
But when you're preparing to receive the baton, it's not at you yet. What's going through your mind?
We're gonna win.
Oh yeah, hey, that's what you're thinking.
Yeah, we're gonna win. We're gonna win. I said to myself, I mean, all the four sprinter you saw there,
and here you are running a great corner.
Yeah,
a terrific corner.
And then I'm going to pass it to Donovan Bailey.
And here it comes. And then there it is.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
What kind of feelings do you get when you look at that?
Oh my God. Every time I look at that, I have goosebumps because I know what's behind it. What's behind this is, we were not the favorite.
Yeah, that's right.
And all the media were talking about our opponent because it was big competition, Canada, USA, and everything.
That's
and
a great embrace with you and Donovan.
Yeah, everybody was just focused on USA, like they're gonna kill us, they're gonna win easily and stuff like that. And we were like, okay, keep underestimate us, it's all right. But once we get to the track, out of the four guys, we look at and here, it's talk. You can see the confidence of people like Reti. People sometimes people don't even have to talk. You can just watch here. You see a degree of confidence. And I look at everybody and I'm like, this is it. Nobody believed that, but we believe that we're gonna do it. And that's the mindset that we had before going there. Because sometimes we see our competition. We're like, oh, they are too good. They are too good. And when I do my conference, and I said to myself, a lot of time we look at they, why not us? If they are there, what sometimes we have to do, like benchmark, we call. Say, well, okay, how did they do to get there? Okay, but we're going to do better. Why not? But sometimes it's like, oh my God, they are untouchable. Same thing as me when I was looking at the Olympics and my idol, and he was like, everybody was like, oh, little Bruni, wow, no, you cannot touch him, you cannot run as fast, you cannot be Olympian, you cannot win medal, wow. And my mindset was like, if they can do it, I have certain talent, and my coach told me, and I believe like my coach, my leader, and yes, I'm gonna do it. And I remember also my mom at 17, at 7 years old, when I came to Canada, and she was saying to myself, well, we have all the opportunity here. Whatever you want to do, just go for it. Believe in yourself, perseverance, and also something in life. There's no shortcut. That means whatever you're going to do, don't cheat. Do it like naturally for you. Don't cheat in anything you're going to do, because sooner or later you're going to pay the price. And that's the kind of mindset that started at seven years old. And then my first coach, Daniel, the me I see is the me I'll be. I'm like, okay, my God, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to succeed. Boom. That's it. It's as simple as that, you know? And sometimes you have to surround yourself with positive people. I don't surround myself with negative people. Sometimes I have friends and they say, hey, listen, be positive. Hey, listen, I don't talk behind back people and everything. I don't want all the negativity. I wake up in the morning and say to myself, I'm going to have a great day. The other day, somebody in my complex told me, Mr. Sharon, it's very nice to see you. I'm like, okay, well, what are you talking about? He said, you are always in a good mood. You are inspiring me. I'm like, okay. And I said to myself, life is too short to focus on the negativity. Life is too short for that. I mean, be positive, be happy and everything. I'm not saying that all the time things are going to be great and everything, but hey, think about it. Today we are in this pandemic.
Yes.
Right? Before the pandemic, I had like maybe 15 conferences, like across Canada. I have some in the state and everything. I have this income coming in and everything. I have my clothing. And my God, okay, everybody's panicking. Okay, focus on, oh my God. At first, yes, we are living it. It's tough. It's tough for me too. So now what we're going to do? Okay, well, we are living that. It's going to be tough. Okay, focus. Okay, now during the pandemic, what we can do? I say, okay, well, I'm going to cheer up. And I'm like, oh my God, listen, it's good. I'm with my family all the time. We have breakfast, we have lunch together, we have dinner together, we are more close. This is positive. This is great. Okay, now, more and more we're going to go digital. I know a little bit about digital. Okay, I want to know more about digital. I took a university class about digital marketing, keeping busy, positive. No. I took another course about negotiation. I'm like, yes, now I'm preparing for the after COVID. I hope it's going to be very soon. we're still there. But you see, I could have said, oh my God, every day, I'm losing money. My clothes, the store are closed. Oh, my conferences. Oh my God, everything is canceled. Oh my God, I'm depressed. Oh my God, nah. I could have done that.
Yeah.
But, you know, unfortunately, I don't want to judge people. I mean, that's why I said to my friend, I even said something on the media. I said, well, people who want to chat, whatever, that's something I was doing, some webinar, try to cheer people how to your mindset, keeping busy and, you know, don't go in that negative, because that's the danger just about, you know, depression. And I don't like to talk about, you know, suicide. We're not there to talk about suicide or anything, but unfortunately it's there. I mean, it's bad. And that's something that I'm going to do also. I'm going to write about it and I'm going to say to people, if you want to talk, I'm here. Now, there's a lot of people who has help for the government and everything. So it's not that bad. It's bad, but it's not that bad because they have this help. But one day, this help from the government, it's going to end. Now, what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so we have to be careful. Yeah.
And thank you for the insights to today. It's amazing, you know, at the time your life is around athletics, your family also, but you know, in that moment it's around athletics. And you made a choice really to be positive. Once you came out of that, then you had a great experience and you're able to help the team. So I think that's really admirable and good for you. As we move forward to the World Championships, you got faster under Dan Pfaff and you ran probably the greatest race of your life. And I'm wondering if you can tell us that, because there's something interesting there. Although you got second, and second's amazing on a silver medal, but you clocked a time that was phenomenal. And it really put into context for you, your goals, and especially with Carl Lewis, your idol. And I'm wondering if you can take us through that.
Yeah.
Because it's quite amazing.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw, that was back in 1999, just to tell you how strong is when you're talking about working psychologically so hard,
yeah.
And when you're going to do it, when I did it physically right there, And when I finished the race, I mean, that's the time I was a little bit ahead of my opponent.
Yeah, yeah.
Moses Green, and we finished tight, photo finish.
Yeah, very good. Terrific race. Yeah, yeah.
that was a good competition. Very, very good show.
Yeah.
And just to show you, when I finished that race and I look at the board, the dashboard, and see Maurice Green won and 980, and me, Bruni, Surin Canada, 984. At that time, I was like, okay, man, it's great. But physically, that was the first time I ran 984. But I run it so much, so many times here. When I did it physically, it's a feeling of deja vu.
Ah.
And I'm like, okay, okay. To me, it's like, it's normal.
Yeah.
But it took me 2 hours to realize what 984 meant, and especially what it meant for me. Because all the medalists, the top three, automatically we had drug tests to see, okay, well, people cheat, whatever. So after 2 hours after that, I'm waiting in line. I'm waiting for my turn because we had all the interview and the medal ceremony and everything. And I just sit down there, and my wife was just there. And I asked her, I said, listen, I really run 984.
Yes.
And she was confused. She was like, yeah, yeah, you run that 2 hours ago. You know, what's wrong with you, you know? And suddenly, I had a kind of a movie in my mind. The movie started like 17 years old, like a young kid with no money. And I saw my idol, and I'm like, okay, I want to become like him. I want to be faster than him and everything. And I saw myself saying to people, and I saw all these faces laughing at me, blah, blah, blah. You know, you cannot do it, blah, blah, blah. And the movie finished by my coach, Danielle, that shared that thing with me. The me I see is the me I'll be. I realized at 32 years old, my time was faster than my idol, Carl Lewis. And I was sitting just like that, and all my body just started shaking. I was just like this. I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is crazy. And the thing is, I was more happier than Maurice. Who won the race?
He won the race.
I came second. I was more happy because that was my goal. So a lot of time I said to people also, you all have your personal goal. Yes, sometimes we try to compare and everything, stuff like that. And yes, I'm aware sometimes people say, okay, second is not first. Yeah, but second is not first. But I felt that I was even more than first. I mean, that was like, that was a race that, to me, that change my life, because the way I'm thinking now is like, even if 99% of people were saying that it's impossible and this and that, and only one person or a couple of small people were saying, okay, yeah, we're with you, and I'm like, this is what we can do. So that's the mindset today I'm still using to say, okay, whatever I want to do, that we're gonna build and everything, we're gonna succeed. And today I'm looking at my life. You see, like sharing my story with people. I have my clothing line and everything. Today, it's like a dream life. And especially when I'm sharing with people, especially when people are writing me emails saying, okay, well, I was in your conference, and from now on, I'm gonna go for my goals and everything. To me, it's like a big, big, big reward. I mean, That's crazy, you know? Yeah.
that is fantastic, and we could listen to you all day. And I flashed up your website as we were talking there, and you're an entrepreneur and businessman and business coach, and you do great work there. So I'll just wrap up here, but stay with me on the line here. So Bruni, this has been such a pleasure. We wish you all the best on your journey as an entrepreneur and a speaker and a business coach and an athlete. Really, this has been so great listening to your insights.
Thank you very much. And I want to congratulate you also, Darwin. You are well prepared, and the webinar went very smooth. Congratulations. I really enjoy it.
That means a lot to me. Thank you so much, Mr.
Thank
Bernie.
Thank you very much. See you guys.
Thank you all so much for listening and watching. If you want to learn more about this topic or others, go to my website, evolutionofleaders.com. Make sure you get 1% better today and tune in again on a future episode of The Evolution of Leaders. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this interview. What struck me is Bruni's amazing ability to overcome criticism and keep his Olympic dream alive. I was really struck by how he'd been through so much adversity, being called a tourist and a chicken by journalists, but he never lets go of his dream. It's just incredible perseverance. And remember, when things go bad, ask yourself two questions. Number one, why? Number two, what are you going to do about it? ASAP. And you can see the passion in the man when he says that, and it's just, he feels it so deeply, so great. I am a leadership and career coach. Go to my website if you'd like to touch base. I would love to hear from you, evolutionofleaders.com. Please like and share if you enjoyed this. Thank you for listening and watching.